We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1 this morning in your Bibles. We will start there. We're going to be in a couple different texts, and so looking forward to this. Title of the message is Community for Life. Two friends were out camping one night. It was a nice evening. They were barbecuing some meat, and lo and behold, a grizzly bear shows up. The one friend, he freaks out, and he says, "Dude, look, a grizzly bear, what do we do?" The friend said, "I don't know about you, but I'm out of here." So quickly, he starts putting on his tennis shoes. And his friend says, "What, are you crazy? You can't outrun a grizzly bear. That thing will catch up to you in like 2 seconds." The friend responded, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you." Friendship. Friendship and community this morning. That's what we're going to talk about. Do you remember the parable we talked about with Jesus? The mustard seed. Remember, he took the smallest of the seeds, the mustard seed, and he compared it to the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which a man planted in the ground, and it grew into a giant tree. And he says that is a picture of the kingdom of God. And the story goes like this. We, the church, are to be planting the seeds of the kingdom here in our city. And over time, God will water those seeds, and it will become a giant tree right here in our city. Not a physical one, but an invisible one. A tree of God's kingdom here in this city, here in the valley, here in the city of LA. That's what we look forward to doing. And so we are going through a series I've titled, A Legacy That Lasts Forever. And we're looking at the different seeds that this church will never stop planting. And last week we looked at worshiping in church each and every week on Sundays. And we also looked at legacy in our families, the gospel in our families, in our marriages and with our kids. And today, the third seed that we will plant is friendship and community, something that we will never stop doing. Friendship and community. What is community? Dictionary.com describes community as a social group of any size whose members reside in a specific locality. They share government, often have a common culture and historical heritage. Friendship and community in our society, I feel, is being lost. I don't know if you feel that, if you sense that. But yes, there's surface relationships, but there aren't very many deep relationships. Community is definitely happening. We have a common culture and heritage, but I think we're failing in the relationships. Friendship, this deep human interaction. Our society is closing off more and more. Society's moving faster, right? People have less time for each other now. We are losing true community. Transportation is faster. We are able to do more in each day. Communication is faster, so you can talk to more people, set up more appointments, supposedly maintain more relationships, but they are all surface with no depth. It's funny, in America it's getting to a point, the way that we greet each other is we say, "How's it going?" But we don't really want to know how's it going. We just want to say hi and we want to keep going, right? It's funny, I don't know if you've ever been to Europe or you've been to other places in the world, but you ask someone how they're doing, and guess what they'll do? They'll tell you, yes, thank you. They'll tell you. They'll start telling you how they're doing. Not so good. This has happened, and that's going on, and they start sharing life. Because we are filling our lives with busyness, we're not getting quality life and relationships. Thus, we are depressed, empty, making bad decisions in life, really destroying our lives. Look, people who are isolated away from true friendship and deep relationship is dangerous because we were created to be with others. We are made in the image of God, and part of that image is relationship, community, deep covenant relationships. Remember, as it's been said, the relationship that we have with God is never to be broken. That's a covenant relationship. The relationship we have with our spouse is never to be broken. That is a covenant relationship. The relationship that we have with the church is the same. It's a covenant relationship, and it's not to be broken. We are not to be testing out different flavors of church each and every week. Now, I understand that each of you, some of you may be even looking for a church or searching for a church. That's perfectly fine. We welcome you here at Legacy. But in the long run, what we're hoping to see is not people who are spread thin over many churches and have no real deep community. We're looking to build real friendships and community here. I want to know your name. I want to know your story. I want to know what's going on. I want to know how I can pray for you. I would like to encourage you in things, and I'd like to build real community. You know what I'm talking about? Real family here at church, where we feel welcome in this place. This is a home, because we are a family brought together by the gospel, brought together by the Lord. I've heard it said that if an infant does not have physical touch and they're just left by themselves, the infant will die or will have many problems in their life. Even the baby needs a lot of touch and interaction from the beginning, and the mother gets the opportunity to do that. So too, you look at even convalescent homes. People who have been there for a while and no one visits them, they have no interaction. What starts to happen to them? They start to break down. And I don't think they pass on and die from just physical issues. They pass on because there's no drive anymore. No one is visiting them. What is the purpose of going on? There's no relationship. There's no community. We thrive on that. We need community. Think about the mad scientist. The person who is locked in their garage or something doing these chemistry projects by themselves. Never interacts with the world. They start to get a little crazy, if you know what I'm talking about. Without constant, what happens is when we come in contact with each other, we have conversations, we are actually sharpening and renewing each other constantly. But a man or a woman left to themselves for years at a time, their mind will start to mess up because they are not made to be alone. We are made to be in community. I see it in young people too. No community equals depression. Their friends are video games and TV shows and movies. The problem is that does not create any social skills. So when they step into the world, they don't know how to communicate or interact with anyone because all they've been interacting with is a screen. And they have no drive, no purpose to live, no direction. They don't know what to do. They don't interact with people. People challenge you. People's personalities challenge and develop you. As much as LA, Studio City, and this place right up here in the valley is filled with millions of people, you would think we would have community going. We do, Josh, you know. There's a lot of community happening. There's a lot of discussions happening, I'm sure. But what I've noticed and what I'm noticing more in Southern California, they're all just surface stuff. We just all want to talk about the breeze and what's going on and the traffic. And it's like no one really wants to get into what's going on. It's like, how are things going? It's always good. But the truth is, it's not good. We all have issues. We all have stuff going on. We all need prayer. We all do. Me too. And so when people ask me, how can I pray for you? I step back and think twice before I answer. Because I need prayer for something. I'm not going to just say, oh, you could pray for something else. As if we look weak. We're all weak. We all need Christ. We all need each other. And so we need to break down these walls. And we need to start moving in that direction. Today I hope to see God transform our minds towards community. Seeing the need for real, true relationships. Community groups and meeting during the week, watch this, let me say it again, community groups and meeting during the week in homes is not a ministry, it is not a program, it is the Christian life. It's what we do, it's who we are. The Christian life is not showing up on Sundays for an hour to check in for some brownie points in heaven and then we walk away and act like we don't know each other. I want to grow. I want to move forward in my walk with God. And I'm telling you, if we... The flesh doesn't like to do that, but when the Spirit does that, and after you have a great, watch this, you have a great time of fellowship with someone, you know what I'm talking about? You actually sit down, you talk about God, you get to pray and encourage each other, you walk away thinking like, man, I needed that. That was such a great time. I really love that person. They're a great person. I'm thankful the Lord's brought them into my life. But when it's been a while and we haven't done that, we walk away, we're feeling empty, we're feeling down, we need each other. I pray God transforms us this morning. I have three main points for you this morning. If you want to write them down, number one is community for eternity. Community for eternity. Do you know that God has been in community for all of eternity's past? Yes. God has been in small group, in community, in eternity. I'm sorry, in community for eternity's past. Genesis chapter 1 in your Bibles, are you there? Genesis chapter 1. Right in the beginning, I love it. The beginning of the Bible, the first thing we see. It says this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stop there. Notice the word God here. this word God is, number one, the first use of God in the Bible. Anytime you want to find the definition of a word in the Bible, what it really means, go back to its first mention in the Bible. You look at the first mention of the word, and then you look at its original language and then original meaning, and you will see it will flood the rest of the Bible with its meaning. The word God in this first verse is the word Elohim. It is the plural word of the word God, El. El is the singular word for God. Elohim is the plural form for God. So the first name for God given in the Bible is the plural form. A plural form of God's name? This is interesting. I thought there was only one God. He or Israel, the Lord our God, is one. Yes, it's true. There is one God, but this gives room for something the doctrine called the Trinity. Now, the Trinity simply states that there is one God, yet God is made up of three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this is the doctrine of the Trinity, and we will discuss this a lot more, but I don't have time to go into it now. But maybe you would ask, well, where does God refer to himself in a plural form in the Bible? We see the plural form of his name. Look down to verse 26 in Genesis 1. Are you there? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" Would you say "let us" with me, please? Say it with me. "Let us. Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Interesting. Who is us? Who is God referring to? "Let us make man in our image." Well, some like to argue it's the angels. God's speaking to the angels. "Let us make man in our image." Wait a minute, we're not made in the image of angels, are we? No, we're made in the image of God. Thus, he is speaking to the Trinity. He is speaking of the community that he has had for eternities past. God was speaking to the Son and the Holy Spirit. God has been in small group for eternities past, is what I'm arguing. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been together for eternities past. Do you see that? And so God created man in his own image, verse 27. "In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." If God has been in community for eternities past, we are made in God's image. Thus, we are made to be in community. It's in our DNA. It's part of who we are. Why don't you look at verse 31 in your text? Are you there? Verse 31 in Genesis 1, it says, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very" what? "Very good." Very good. "And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day." It was very, everything God made was very good. Now, if God says something is very good, I think God would say that an In-N-Out burger is very good. Not just good, I'm talking very good. You know what I mean, Lorenzo? Very good. I mean, really good, right? Everything God saw that he made was very good. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Turn your page one more time. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 18. "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good.'" Say "not good." "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." The designer, the creator says, "Everything that I have made, the heavens and the earth, very good. I made In-N-Out burgers, very good." But he looks down and he sees man by himself and he says, "The man is alone. This is" what? "Not good." This is the premise for the entire text today. It is not good when we are alone. It's not good. To be alone is isolation. And God himself said it's not good. So what did he do? He created them, male and female. He created community immediately. And he wanted community to come forth. Family, unison, community. We will be in heaven forever. Did you know that? Together. Community. Do we go to heaven and all of a sudden we're like individuals running around, like flying and just like, do-do-do, I'm on my own doing my thing. No. We're going to be in community in heaven forever. If God has been in community in eternities past, If God created man and saw that he was alone and he said that's not good, then created community for him. And if we will be in community in heaven forever, I have come to the conclusion that we are called to be in community. Today, now, right now. Christians may not see eye to eye, but they should walk arm in arm. We should be together. Family, we're going to heaven together. And we're going to go to heaven with Jesus and be with our God forever. But guess what? You're like, man, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can get away from that person. Well, if they're a Christian, you ain't getting away from nobody. We're going to be together forever. And so we should probably start loving each other and enjoying the community now, because that's what we'll be doing for all of eternity. Don't worry, there won't be sin. So it'll be a little bit easier, a little bit better. The future heaven is what I read earlier as we opened the service, Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to the Lord our God and to the Lamb." Can you imagine? People from every race and tribe all standing before, and it says nobody can number it. Look, people have numbered millions of people. I remember being in the Rose Bowl here and seeing 110,000 people in that stadium at one time. That's a lot of people. Can you imagine seeing a sea of faces that no one can number? And they're all worshiping God. They're all together, and they're from every tribe and nation. That's what I'm talking about. That's what heaven looks like. And that is what we are to look like now. Heaven is community for eternity. So we better start getting to know each other. Matthew Henry said it this way: when we take God to be our God, we take his people to be our people. And so there is no, I don't like that person, I don't want to talk to that person, I don't want to be close to that person. Wait a minute. I would suggest that God has allowed that person to come into your life to grow you spiritually. Me too. Yeah, but that person's hard to deal with. Yep, aren't we hard to deal with? And God deals with us. Thank you, Lord, for being so patient and kind with me. The church should be in community on earth as it is in heaven. The church should be in community on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we need to be doing. That's what blows people's minds when they see people from every tribe and race, from every genre of life, worshiping, enjoying life together. I love that. I love when I walk down the street and I got my African-American brother here, I got my Mexican brother over here, I got my Asian brother over here, and we're just walking, and then I got my Native American brother over here, and we're just walking down the street, and they're just like, who are those guys? Were they a band or something? You know, they put something together. Was that strategic? No, it's the body of Christ. That's what it is. And we are to be in community. The gospel, listen, the gospel has saved us to be in community with each other forever. And the gospel, the relationship between God and us, declares to us the way the relationship should be between us and other people in the church. Watch it again. The way that the relationship is between us and God is the way that relationships should be between us and people in the church. You see that? Everything that's happening here, the forgiveness, the love, the grace, the patience, the kindness, the commitment, the service, everything that God does for us, we are to be serving and doing for the church, building community. And as the world sees this, as people walk in from outside of these doors into this place, and they see the way that you love each other, they will start to worship God because of it. It will resonate with them. I love it, young and old, loving each other. You know what I'm talking about? An old gentleman and a young person being poured into by the old person, ministering, giving them wisdom, building them up. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kingdom. Jesus said this in John 13, 34. Listen, he said this, disciples, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, by your love for one another. You want to know how people will know we are disciples of Jesus? By the way that we love each other. Very plain and simple. Everything that I am about to say regarding instruction for why we should be in community is not something we should do out of obligation. Please, church, don't get into community and start loving people simply because the pastor said so. Don't do that. or simply because I see it in the Bible. Hold on. I don't want you to do it out of obligation. I want you to do it because you see the relationship and the community you have with God and what He's done for you, and it pushes you and challenges you to have community and friendship with other people in the church. You see that? We see the love and the grace and the awesomeness of our God and what He's done for us. It pushes us to love people around us, serve people, build relationships with people around us. That's it. It's the gospel. So number one, community for eternity. Number two, if you want to write it down, why do we need community? Why do we need community? I want to answer that question now. First, community forces us to grow in grace and the gospel. You know that? Forces us to grow in grace and in the gospel. It's hard to love and serve people other than ourselves, isn't it? I don't love myself. I don't love and serve myself. Yeah, you do. You feed yourself every day and you like your sleep and you like to put on comfortable clothes and, you know, like, no, I hate myself. No, you don't. When it's so funny, when a picture is taken, who do you look at first? You. And because you love yourself and you want to make sure you look good, right? And it's so funny, everybody else in the picture could look absolutely flawless, but you see yourself in there and you're like, that's a terrible picture. Let's do another one. It's hard to love and serve people other than ourselves, but this is the greatest picture of God. Community forces us to grow, watch this, in patience, right? You get hard people around you. And all of a sudden, you got to start acting like the Lord does a little bit, and you got to start learning to be patient with people. But if you don't have those people in your life, guess what? You don't have to grow in patience. And so the Lord allows these things to grow in kindness, to grow in understanding, to grow in compassion, to grow in forgiveness. Hey, if you don't have anybody sinning against you, you don't get to forgive anybody. And so let's put some people together, and, well, I'm sure something's going to go wrong. Always does, huh? But what is that? That's opportunity, a platform for forgiveness and grace. Pastor Chuck Smith said it this way, and you've heard it before, blessed are the flexible. Blessed are the flexible. Yep. I don't like people. I don't want to be around people. I know, because you don't want to be bothered. But I'm telling you that your DNA says that you actually really enjoy deep community. You've been made that way. And so when you isolate yourself away from it, you miss out on so much. You're not getting life. And all you have to do is look back to any deep relationship you have ever had, that satisfying, warm love, peace, and rest that comes in those great friendships and relationships. We need it. I'm not saying you got to be friends with everybody in the world. I'm just saying you need some people around you who are thinking like you and moving in the same direction as you and helping you and encouraging you. Community keeps us accountable. Would you say the word accountable with me, please? Accountable. Community keeps us accountable. God did not save us to keep us the same. Accountability is having people pray for you and counsel you with wisdom so you don't make bad decisions in life. We need help with decision making. Did you know that? In life. No, I can do it on my own. I don't need anybody. I can do it all on my own. Careful. Careful. You isolate yourself. You don't get wisdom from the outside, you make bad decisions. You make ungodly decisions. But when you have people and friends in the church who care about you and love you, they reinforce good decisions in your life. You ask them, hey, you think I should do this? I'm thinking about buying this thing. And they're like, serious? You can't afford that? Shouldn't do that. And you're like, wow, okay, I'll think twice about it. But if you don't bounce it off anybody, guess what you're going to do? Oh, you're going to buy that thing. And you're going to find yourself in debt and struggling to get out of it. And then you're a slave to this thing, you know? Bible says, owe no man anything but love. Job moves, relationship issues, sin issues, life counsel from other believers is a good thing. That sounds scary. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing that we could have in life. When we have a council of people helping us to make decisions for life, we will now be encouraged and forced to make great decisions. We won't create problems for ourselves. Can I get an amen? See? Proverbs 15:22 says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I want godly men around me, and I want to bring these things today. What do you guys think about this? And they say, well, this and this and this and this and this helps me to make a wise decision. But it's not always going to be what I want to hear, huh? They may tell me, no, don't do that. That's a bad decision. You don't want to do that. I'm like, no, I want to do it, right? But they say, no, don't do it. And they warn you, and you're like, oh, I want to do that. And you walk away and you don't do it, and you're like, thank God I didn't do that, looking back on that thing, right? But there are times we don't listen. We find ourselves in trouble. Community also brings confession. Would you say confession with me? Confession. Confession is scary, huh? That's for the Catholic Church. Wait a minute. It's for the Christian Church, my friend. James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. A lot of you are carrying burdens that you shouldn't be carrying. And what happens is when we confess to each other and we open up a little bit, you know what happens? We are freed. The burden leaves us. We expose ourselves. It's like, I can't confess to somebody. They're going to know my dirt. So what? You know what's going to happen? You start confessing. You start sharing something. Man, I'm going through this. This is happening. This is happening. You know what they do? They turn around and say, oh, man, that's crazy. I'm going through that too right now. You know, just I'm hurting too, man. Can you pray for me? We're all sinners. We're all going through stuff. I'm telling you, think about a community of people who have one or two friends in their life that they can actually be open and honest with, and somebody can encourage them and pray for them. Is that awesome or what? Community brings discipleship. Jesus told us, go and make disciples of all nations, right? Matthew 28. Community, being with people, brings discipleship. Two things real quick. We need to be discipling someone at all times. Did you know that? Is there someone in your life that you're pouring into, spending time with, encouraging and growing with? And number two, is there someone discipling you? We all need discipleship, don't we? We need someone else pouring into us. And so community discipleship is great. It's just getting together with believers sometimes, allowing somebody to encourage you. It looks many different ways. It could be somebody who's a giant in the faith, encouraging someone who's brand new in the faith. It could be two people who have been walking in the faith the same together, and we just encourage and sharpen each other. Or it could be, people who are brand new believers. I love people who are new in the faith. Their zeal and their love for Jesus, it's so simple. Man, just watching that glow pour from them just stirs me. Pastor Josh, I read this and I read this in the Word, man, and it spoke to me like this. I'm like, yeah, I want that. I want that. They stir us. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know why the people in the community of God are here? To sharpen you. And if you are away from community and you're not talking with anyone, I'm telling you, you're going to be dull. A dull blade. You want to be sharp. Community enables us also to use our giftings. Did you know that? I'll just read it. You can write it down. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 says, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. Many members in the body. And I wish I could go through that whole passage there. But it says, some of you, okay, all of us are members of the body of Christ. Some of you are hands. Some of you are eyes. Some of you are ears, some of you are mouths, some of you are feet and toes. Well, I don't want to be a toe, especially that big toe, the nail thing. You know, I don't want to be that one. That's disgusting. Now, wait a minute. We all have giftings, we all have abilities, and we all members of one body. Can the body operate without toes? You can't stand. Can the body operate without hands? No. Well, I want to be a mouth. Why can't I be a mouth? Hold on. If you've been made to be an eye, you should be an eye. Don't try to be a mouth, because can you imagine an eyeball here? That doesn't work. It's awkward. It's kind of weird. And so if God has made you to grab a sword, don't grab the slingshot. If God has made you to grab a slingshot, don't grab the sword. You play your part, me too, and we'll watch how the body of Christ will grow. Every single one of you have a gifting from God. And it's uniquely given. And sometimes I wish that I had that gifting and you wish you had that gifting. But I'm telling you, God has made us uniquely. And so real quick, know your gifting. Learn your gifting. How? How do I figure it out? I would ask people around you who maybe know you, maybe husband or wife or a family member or a friend. Just ask them, what do you see in me? Like, man, you're such an encouraging person. You're just really good at encouraging people. You know what you should do? You should go on in the church practicing that gift, please. Because there's some in here who are just not good at encouraging. They're good at tearing down and making things difficult. But there are others who are very organized and direct. and others who are very sloppy. And so we need those people in place. And you see, there are others who are really good at loving and serving people. And there are others who are not. They're gifted in a different area. I need all of you to discover your gifting and use it. Know your gifting. Use it to serve others. Use it to serve others immediately. Do you know your gifting? Do you know where maybe the Lord has given you something? Use it for God's glory. I'm thankful for Dave here on the camera. You know, he and his wife sent me an email a month and a half ago or so, and just talking about using the camera here and using his video skills to serve here at the church. And we didn't have that, and we wouldn't have that. But now check this out, because someone said, you know, I want to use my gifting for God's glory. I want to serve the church. Now you have YouTube video every single week because this man has chosen to do this with his own equipment. And I'm thankful. It's not just to put him up there. I know he's doing it for the Lord, him and his family. And so I'm thankful for that. But I'm telling you, each one of you have giftings. Let's use it for God's glory. We need your gift, and don't waste your gift. Community brings real friendship, real relationships. Again, it's part of our DNA. And I want to encourage you with Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Just listen closely to this. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is the most dangerous thing that can happen. If we get out of fellowship, if we get out of community, you know what can happen? We start to fall away from the Lord. We have nobody holding us accountable. We have nobody asking us, nobody pursuing us, nobody calling us. And you see it happen a lot in the church. It's really sad. Somebody steps outside of church, somebody gets away from community, somebody gets out of small group, and before you know it, the rhythms get messed up, huh? And all of a sudden, you're not in community anymore, and you're not talking to those people anymore. Before you know it, you're not being challenged. No one is encouraging you. No one is instructing you. Nobody is speaking the gospel into your life, calling you back to Jesus as Savior. And before you know it, you slowly drift away. Slowly drift away. Heard of an illustration of a guy who stepped into 100 rooms, and the different rooms had the same color in it. But each room, as they put one more drop of paint into the room, into the bucket of paint, and then they painted the room. So they started off with white, then they put one drop of green, and then they put another drop of green and paint the next room, and another drop of green and paint the next room, another drop of green and paint the next room. Before you know it, if you walk through it, you couldn't see the change, but at the last room, you would see that it's completely green. It's all been the same color, just different shades. And sometimes, without even knowing it, you slowly step away from the Lord as we get outside of community. We need rhythms and life, encouraging each other daily, lest we fall away. We need to help each other apply the gospel into each other's lives. Watch this. Do you know that you're spiritually, I shouldn't say spiritually, do you know that you have blind spots, okay? You've been driving on the freeway and you can't see your blind spot, and you end up getting over in the lane, you almost hit somebody. It's like, I didn't even see him. I looked in my mirror. It's because the car has blind spots. Watch this. You as a human being have blind spots. And the only way they can be seen is by other people. And so you need other people to help you see those spots. Now watch this. We human beings are so prideful and arrogant, we overlook things all the time in our own lives. We see them in other people. Like, look at that person doing that. But watch this. It's in your own life. And I would even suggest the only reason you can see it so well in other people is because it's very evident in your own heart. You're very familiar with it. Now watch this. Heard of an illustration of it was in C.J. Mahaney's book, Humility. And he writes about a man who walks in to a bagel shop to get his bagel. With some cream cheese on it, you know, businessman in a suit. Just quick break. He walks in there, he gets it, he starts eating it, and he gets a big piece of cream cheese on his face. But he can't see it. He doesn't know. Here's this good-looking guy, man, walking out there with a suit on. He's got a bunch of cream cheese on his face, can't see it. Off to his business meeting, and he walks into his business meeting looking like a fool with a bunch of cheese on his face. He couldn't see it. And the only reason he was able to see it is by someone else telling him. And I'm telling you that the church is made up of a bunch of people who have stuff all over their face, and we need each other to wipe it off. I'm telling you, it's the system. It's the way it's built. And so you have people walking around. Can't they see they act that way all the time? No, they can't. Can't they see that on their face? Don't they know what they're doing? No, they can't. They need someone to speak into their life and wipe their face for them. Not like this. Hey, idiot, look at that cream cheese on your face. Don't do that. We need to come up and say, brother, dude, I know you look like you really enjoyed that bagel. Let me help you. Let me wipe that off. We need community. And we need to encourage each other in the gospel. Our heart turns away from the gospel constantly, and every single week, I need someone to speak into my life, encourage me to get back to Jesus, get back to the gospel, challenge the things in my life, the gods that are growing, the idols that are being built up. They need to be struck down by someone else in the church. Family, what if we had a church that did something like that? What if we had a church, a church called Legacy that did stuff like that? What kind of people would we see in this room gathered? I believe we would see a people who really love people, who really chase and seek God, who really live unbelievable lives that blow away the city, and we see many come to Jesus because of it. You know what I'm talking about? Finally, what does community look like in real time? In Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Devoted is the word there. Devoted, devoted, devoted. Commitment. Devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And it says, day by day, they attended the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And so this is what I think church is supposed to look like. Watch this. We here at Legacy are not going to have 101 ministries. We need to have a ministry for that. We need to have a ministry for this. We need to do this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. Watch this. We will accomplish all of those ministries, but they will birth out of one thing. And that is groups that meet in homes. Watch this. You're meeting with maybe 8 people at your house or somebody else's house, and you guys get this crazy idea. Man, let's go down to, you know, the mission this weekend, and let's go serve over at Fred Jordan and help and serve and love some people. You guys want to do that? Yeah. Look, we don't need a Fred Jordan missions ministry. We just let the community group go and do that work, and bam, we're doing that work. Then another group says, you know what, hey, let's go and scrape the gum off the streets over in this area because it looks so bad. And hey, when people walk up, we'll just tell them we're doing it for the Lord, you know, and we'll start some conversation. Hey, our group this week, let's go over to the farmer's market. Let's hand out some flyers and stuff. We don't need a street witnessing evangelism ministry. It's what the church does. And it just so happens we have a community group that wants to go over there and do that, that meets in a home once a week. And so what does our church look like? I think it looks like this. Us going to the temple, like the early church, on Sunday. Here we are. Isn't this temple great? Look at these things. Look at these pillars. Marble, gold pillars, you know, and it's beautiful, huh? We come to the temple, we worship, and then we go day by day throughout our week. Hey, we go over to somebody's house during the week. We hang out together. We talk about the sermon we just talked about on Sunday. We encourage each other. We share with life. Hey, man, I got this going on at work. Could you pray for me? Yeah, let me pray for you. Boom, they pray for you there. You get to minister and use your giftings, and we all walk away blessed and encouraged. And then before you know it, you say, man, I'm connecting with a couple people in that group really, really well. Hey, you guys want a barbecue over at my house this week? Come on, I'll grab the steaks. We'll do burgers or something. You guys come over. Before you know it, you're building friendships, real friendships. And then all of a sudden, you call up that person. You say, hey, man, my weed whacker broke. Can I come over and borrow that? And you go over there to pick up the weed whacker, and you fellowship for 20 minutes, and you pray for each other, grab the weed whacker, go home, and do the work. Your friend says, hey, let me come over and help you out with the work at your house. You know what I'm talking about? Real, genuine friendship and relationship. And that's what I want to close in. Do you remember the Good Samaritan? Luke chapter 10. Jesus tells a story. This is what I'll close in. Jesus tells a story of a man walking, or a couple people walking down the street who see a man hurting. It says that he's just been robbed, he's been beat up, and he's laying there in the gutter. And a couple guys walk by him. One, I would say, a councilman, super high prestige in the city, sees the man, turns his head away, and acts like he doesn't see him. The second one is actually a priest, a pastor, someone who would stand in the gap for the people. And he sees him, and he's very religious and doesn't really care about people. He turns his face away and walks away. But it says there that the Good Samaritan, the one in the city who should not do it and would absolutely not do it because of racial issues between these two, he stops, he serves this person, and watch this. It says he takes him up, he takes him away, He goes and makes sure he is bandaged up, cleaned up, and taken care of. He spends time with this person. We say, who's the Good Samaritan? I propose to you this morning that the Good Samaritan is Jesus. Was he not the one who saw us, a stranger, laying on the side of the road, beat up, messed up, struck down? And Jesus stopped and bandaged our wounds. Jesus stopped and took his time to save us, forgive us of sin. Jesus is the one who stopped and took time to build a friendship and a relationship with us. And I'm telling you this morning, if that doesn't stir you to build relationship and friendship with other people, I don't know what else will. Because God has done this for us, I want to do this for other people.